Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to northeastern and central Pennsylvania. Welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. And Mary Kate's guest today is well known to just about everyone in our listening audience, Father Gerald Murray. And Father Murray was born in Brooklyn, New York, of course, in May 1959, grew up in New Rochelle, attended Regis High School and Dartmouth College. And he entered St. Joseph's Seminary in Dunwoody in 1980 and was ordained a priest on December 1st, 1984. After being assigned to various parishes in the Bronx and Manhattan, he was sent to the Gregorian University in Rome in 1993, where he was awarded a doctorate in canon law in 1998. And he then served briefly as a judge on the Metropolitan Tribunal before being named pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Church on West 23rd Street in 1998. And in 2012, Father Murray was named pastor of Holy Family Church, East 47th Street, New York, where he serves today. And Father Murray is probably best known to our audience as a frequent guest on Raymond Arroyo's World Over program on EWTN TV. And he's also appeared as a commentator on religious topics on various other TV and radio outlets, including EWTN Spanish, Fox News, Fox Business News, MSNBC, NY1, Radio Maria, Fox News Radio, and The Voice of America. And he's fluent in French, Spanish, and Italian, and has a working knowledge of Portuguese. He served in the U.S. Naval Reserve Chaplain Corps from 1994 to 2005. And we're happy to note we will be honored to have Father Murray as keynote speaker at the Pennsylvanians for Human Life prayer breakfast at Fiorelli's in Peckville, Saturday, November 5th at 9 a.m. Hope everybody can make it. Mary Kate.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
You're sure welcome.
Hello. Hello to everyone there, and welcome back to our program In the Father's Hands. Before we get into our program, I just want to remind you all that you can listen to this program on JMJ Catholic Radio out of Scranton at 7:50 a.m. and also 98.9 FM. And also you can hear the program on our podcast online if you can't catch the program live. Please also continue to keep JMJ Catholic Radio in your prayers. And also, if you can help at all financially, we always appreciate that, so we can keep spreading the gospel message, especially during this time. It's so important to really know our faith, have a working knowledge of it. So thank you so much for your prayers for JMJ, and keep us between your gas and electric bill. And let's go ahead and reflect for a moment on our passages that we do each week with the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. Where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this promise of always being held by our Heavenly Father and our life being guided by Him. And we're so pleased today to have Father Murray joining us. Thank you for coming on, Father.
No, it's a great pleasure to be with you, Mary Kate. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And Father, I always like to get things going in the program by asking my guests what their favorite verse from Scripture is and why. If you could share that with us.
Yes, well, I love the verse where our Lord said, "It is not you who have chosen me, but I have chosen you. And to go forth and bear fruit that will last." And I like that because it's a reminder that everything we have is a gift from God, and the fact that He chose us to be His followers and the grace of baptism, which most of us received as infants, that's a gift from God that comes immediately after the first gift, which is to be alive in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I love that because, our task in the church is to respond to what God has already done for us. And we respond by saying yes to the Lord and keep, faithful to that yes throughout our lives.
Wonderful. And what verse is that in John, Father?
Oh, you now you're. This is when I'm not good at remembering exactly where it is.
I think it is the fifth. I think it's the 15th chapter of St. John.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, but look that. I mean, it's a well-known verse. I think a lot of us have heard that. But look that up if
yes.
you want to read that and reflect more as it goes on. You know. So thank you for sharing that, Father.
Well, yeah, it's inspirational, as are all the words of our Lord.
I really appreciate that because the Gospel of St. John is actually my favorite gospel. And each time we have a program, I always read from John 10. So when you picked the verse from John, I was excited about that because I love the Gospel of St. John in a special way. So, you know, Father, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us maybe some ways in your life that you've really experienced God's presence in your life, his providence through you throughout your life and where you came from and what you've continued to do. If you would share that with us a little bit.
Yes, well, you know, thank you. It's for me, it all begins with my parents. Both my parents are practicing Catholics. My dad has gone to the Lord 5 years ago, but my mom is still with us. And I'm very grateful because they brought us to Mass, enrolled my two sisters and I in Catholic schools. So that was all providential. And then I ended up becoming a priest, not really thinking to become such until I entered college. And I did not go to a Catholic college. I went to Dartmouth, which is a secular college in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And the providential thing was that at Dartmouth, there was a great Catholic chaplain, Father William Nolan. And it was at Dartmouth that I got the inspiration from the Lord and the good example of Father Nolan. And that led me to enter the seminary when I graduated. So that was definitely providential. And going to Dartmouth ended up being the best thing that happened to me in terms of, you know, determining the future of my life, because that's where I decided to become a priest.
What did you study at Dartmouth, Father?
I was a history major. And
history
is a great subject for understanding the role of the Catholic Church and divine grace in the Western world and then throughout the world. And I still read history to this day. I find it helps us to analyze how to live in the present moment, understanding how we got here.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So kind of from there, you being at that campus, you were led into the priesthood, and kind of take us from there, Father.
Yeah, I went to a beautiful seminary, St. Joseph Seminary in Dunwoody, Yonkers, New York, just north of New York City. And we had wonderful professors. And, you know, I was ordained back in 1984. And it's, you know, this will be 38 years now. And it's been a great blessing from the Lord to serve as a priest. We were well trained in the seminary, got Orthodox and profoundly Catholic understanding of theology, canon law, scripture. All of that goes into preparing for the priesthood. And then I was blessed to be sent to Rome after serving 9 years in different parishes, and I studied canon law at the Gregorian University. And that provided me with a wonderful further instruction in, you know, what it means to be a Catholic and understanding the law of the Church.
Was that something that they had asked you to do, Father, or were you interested in doing that? Like, to, when someone's asked to become a canon lawyer, are you selected for that?
Well, I had told the cardinal that I would like to study theology or philosophy, and he said, no, I'd like you to study canon law. So I accepted it, and that was another providential moment because it gave me the opportunity to learn something that became very useful in going on media. So you mentioned Raymond Arroyo's program. One of the things I do on that is often analyze developments in Rome in the church from the point of view of church law. So being a canon lawyer has been an additional benefit to the theological training that I got in the seminary.
Okay. Now, if you wouldn't mind explaining a little bit to our audience, when a priest or maybe a layperson as well, when they're a canon lawyer, what kind of things does that involve you in the church as a canon lawyer?
Most canon law work concerns marriage cases, you know, petitions for a declaration of nullity of marriage. So most of the work of canon lawyers is by serving on diocesan tribunals. And lay people can also serve on tribunals. And there have been more canon lawyers who have been, you know, graduating from the different canon law schools over the last 20 years. That's an new phenomenon in the life of the church. But canon lawyers also serve in other capacities. They advise bishops on how to manage their diocese, and they advise religious orders on, let's say, organizational questions, if they get into disputes, property questions. Canon lawyers also help, just in general, to understand how the law of the church governs the day-to-day operation of the church. And that is very important, given the many changes that have occurred in the church since the Second Vatican Council. And the Code of Canon Law was updated in 1983 to reflect Vatican II, but also, you know, advances in the church's self-understanding that are reflected in her laws. And we get into questions of rights of priests and canonical process when we have, for instance, sexual abuse accusations. Those are governed by canon law, how those are prosecuted. So there's a lot there, and canon lawyers are often in the background of decisions that are made.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, and I know a lot of people probably, they know about regular lawyers, but, you know, they might not know much about canon law, so it's interesting to kind of hear more about that, you know?
Yes, no, it's something that usually was just restricted to chanceries and diocesan tribunals, but I get a lot of phone calls asking questions about canon law and, you know, the people's rights, because one of the advances in canon law was, in 1983, was a recognition of the rights of the faithful, that they can, you know, use the canonical system to vindicate their rights if they've been violated. And that's an important issue.
Sure, certainly. So, Father, my question for you is, you know, you had asked the bishop if you could study philosophy or theology, but he wanted you to study canon law. You know, if you kind of look back earlier in your life, now I'm sure actually studying history has probably helped with this, but you were asked to do something that you weren't really planning on doing. How did you kind of see God's hand in your life preparing you to take on this task of being a canon lawyer, even though that wasn't necessarily your idea right off the bat?
Yep, absolutely. Both my parents were lawyers, and both my mom's parents were lawyers. I come from a background of lawyers in the family. And, you know, as a kid, you know, the arguments at the dinner table, you know, could not very much stray from, you know, the demanding legal reasoning that my parents are trying to teach us, that you make an argument based on facts and rules, not based on what you like things to be. So, yeah, it was a good training. And yeah, I was very grateful to Cardinal O'Connor, who was the one who asked me to study canon law and sent me to Rome.
Wonderful. That's really interesting about the lawyer connection. You carried on in their footsteps in a little bit of a different manner, but
that's it. Yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you're also now you're a parish priest as well, Father. Yes.
That's correct. I've been pastor of Holy Family Church in Manhattan for the last 10 years. My term extends 2 more years. And this parish is a beautiful church located near the United Nations building. So we serve the neighborhood and then those that work at the UN.
Oh, and you know multiple languages, so I'm sure that comes in handy.
It does. And that's another benefit. When I was young, my parents sent me to France for a summer course to learn French. When I was in college, I went to Spain for a semester to learn Spanish. I also went to Portugal to learn Portuguese. So it's an advantage because, yeah, the UN is the multilingual center. And, you know, we try to help people. Most people know English who end up working at the UN, but there's always people like to pray in their own language. For instance, we have a French mass here at our parish once a week on Tuesday afternoon for largely for French people who work at the UN, but any French person or French speakers welcome at it.
Okay. Yeah. So, Father, you know, in your role as just as a Catholic priest, of course, but also as a canon lawyer, you know, that's a little bit of a tough job in a sense, Father, you know, even, you know, when people get to see you on EWTN, when you're fielding questions of that sort, that's not necessarily something that maybe the average priest does in the same level that you do. And so, you know, like, kind of how does God help you work through that and handle that, Father, that aspect of like defending the faith that you have in an even higher level than maybe most priests might. You know, people are coming to you for questions that they might not ask somebody, like another priest, you know, and
right.
that kind of puts a little bit of a different cross on your shoulders than someone else might carry, you know.
Sure. No, it's, you know, one thing I did in college was I also worked on the college radio station for a year. And, you know, I do enjoy using the media to get the word of the Lord out and to explain to people, you know, what the Catholic Church is doing, and to do so in an honest way. And, mm-hmm. you know, I commend Raymond Arroyo because he's a, you know, straight shooter. He's a very good
sure.
interviewer. And he invited me on originally to cover the papal conclave in 2013, at which Pope Francis was elected. And then Robert Royal and I continue as the papal posse to be on approximately every month, analyze, you know, news in the church. And I do know, you know, people watch TV and listen to Catholic radio because they want to understand better what's going on in the church. And
certainly.
When that involves controversies, either, you know, the world attacking the church or problems within the church, you know, the best thing to do is to tell people, yes, this is what the truth is. If someone offends the truth, then they need to be corrected. And, you know, giving witness to the truth of Christ is always the most charitable thing.
Right. No, it's no, certainly. And that kind of leads a little bit into my next question, Father. If you could just give a little advice for Catholics on how to stay faithful and focused in this current time in our salvation history, the world history, salvation history. Do you have some tips for us?
Sure. No, I mean, the Catholics need to know the faith. So I think it's important that they read the scriptures, read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, become informed. And then on the basis of that knowledge, then be able to judge things that they hear about in the media, which can be shocking. We recently had a group of bishops in Belgium who issued a blessing ceremony for same-sex couples, meaning that they were blessing homosexuals who were now promising to commit sin with each other within this kind of recognized, civilly recognized relationship, getting a church blessing. This is horrendous. And, you know, when people hear it, they're shocked. And, well, they should be, because the job of the bishop is to uphold the faith, not to tear it down. So, you know, it's no offense against anyone to say that they've made a mistake or that they're violating their duty, if that's absolutely clear. And in the case
sure.
of those Flemish bishops, it is. Pope Francis himself had approved of a document from the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith a year and a half ago, in which the document said that the Catholic Church cannot bless same-sex unions because they cannot bless sin. Homosexual activity is mortally sinful, can never receive any kind of recognition or blessing from the church. These bishops chose to ignore that, and that's a source of scandal because they are leading the faithful into sin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have, you know, be informed of what the church teaches, know the doctrine of the faith, and then, you know, speak in favor of it when people question it or contradict it.
Sure. Yeah, I think a lot of times people actually just want to hear what the truth is about it. And sometimes, you know, people maybe that have some authority in teaching people about our faith, they're nervous to offend. But I don't know how much if they realize how eager people are to just have a straight answer about it. You know, like, just tell me like what the church teaches or doesn't teach, you know, because
right.
the worst spot to be in is to have confusion, because it kind of makes you lose confidence in your own faith. You know, I'm part of this church founded by Jesus Christ, but people teaching me about it don't seem to know what it teaches. So like, is this authentic or not? You know, and of course we know that it is, because it's Jesus' church. He founded it.
Yes,
but we rely so much on certain people to teach us. I think there's got to be like an independence there of like learning on our own, even if maybe we have people around us that like could be authority or some kind of level of teaching theology or religion, if they seem confused. I think it's important to not stop there. I think people get discouraged. And I'm a big proponent of, you know, like you can read, like pick up a book and read on your own, you know, but the teaching is there. It's sitting there waiting to be read. And just because people are confused about it doesn't mean it's not true, you know?
That's correct. And, you know, Catholics are in an unfortunate position now of hearing bishops say things which contradict the teaching of the church. And the Flemish bishops or the bishops in Belgium are not the only ones. The cardinal in Munich, Cardinal Marx, said the Catholic teaching homosexuality has to change. Cardinal Hollerich in Luxembourg said the same thing. So there's a wave of a doctrinal error being taught by bishops. And ordinarily we say, well, bishops only teach what's true, so I guess I better follow them. And no, the informed Catholic says, this is not what Christ said. This is not what the church has ever taught. So it's not offensive to assert the teaching of Christ, even though it will annoy people like Cardinal Marx or Hollerich, who are basically revolutionaries in what they're doing. So, you know, charity is to tell people when they make a mistake. And if they disagree with us, we don't change. We don't say, well, to make you happy, I'll stop criticizing you. No, I'm more interested in your salvation than in you being happy and in error.
Right. I always just think to myself, you know, Jesus like died for telling the truth, right? And so it was that important to him to die to tell the truth because he loved us so much, you know? So if he was willing to go to that extent to tell people the truth, it must be pretty important to tell people the truth, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the Lord said to the apostles, you know, he who hears you hears me. So the apostles' duty is to really listen to the Lord first and then to repeat the teaching. The bishops are the successors of the apostles. So, you know, Cardinal Marx and Hollerich, they know that the church does not agree with their opinion, but they continue to push it. You know, honest people would quit the church rather than try to use their authority to overthrow church teaching. And they're not doing that. Martin Luther left the church, and I hope Marx and Hollerich, those two cardinals, will change, you know, what they're doing, but they can't possibly think that what they're doing is in line with the intention of Christ for the church, because for 2,000 years, the church has taught the exact opposite of what they're proposing.
Right, certainly.
Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah. And, you know, Father, if you wouldn't mind, I know you just had a new book come out. Could you just give us like a little sneak preview about your new book, what it's titled and kind of the format of the book?
Yes, thank you for mentioning it. I did an interview book with Diane Montagna, who's a Vatican journalist. The book is called Calming the Storm, Navigating the Crises Facing the Catholic Church and Society. And it's an interview book in which we deal with a lot of the topics that I talk about on EWTN television and write about it. I have a monthly column at thecatholicthing.org. And in the interview book, we deal with German crisis in the church. We deal with the sex abuse matter. Deal with challenges from secular society, transgenderism, you know, the gay movement that's trying to legitimize homosexual activity. We also deal with, you know, how to raise your children in the faith, how to be confident in the life of prayer, the importance of educating yourself. You know, an educated laity is really a laity that's able to confront the modern world with knowledge, not just with, you know, upsetness. So, yeah, the book is kind of goes through a lot of the topics, and I would, you know, of course, recommend people to read it. It's published by the St. Paul Center, Emmaus Road Publishing. And it's available at the St. Paul Center website. It's also available on Amazon. And it's a book I enjoy doing, and I'm grateful to Scott Hahn, who suggested that we do that book.
Now, Father, I know that, you know, you are on once a month with Robert Royal, with Raymond Arroyo, but do you ever write for any kind of publications or have any sort of like outlet on the side of that you put out writings?
Yes, I do write for thecatholicthing.org, which is a website that Robert Royal is in charge of. I also write for the Human Life Review. They have what's called Pastor Reflections. And actually right now, my latest reflection is up on the website, Human Life Review. Occasionally write other pieces for other outlets, the Catholic Herald in England. I've written for them. So it's a sideline on my parish work, but I'm happy to be able to do it.
Yeah, wonderful. We're kind of almost getting to the end here, Father, but I'm putting you on the spot with this question. May I ask what your favorite book is, as far as like a spiritual classic, maybe, or just a favorite spiritual book?
Spiritual classic. That's a good question. I have to say, I do enjoy spiritual, autobiographies or spiritual biographies. Let me see what my favorite book would be. Hard question.
I didn't give you time to think about that.
I like so many books. One book, which is a secular book, but it has spiritual background to it, is Witness by Whittaker Chambers, who was a former communist spy who left communism, became an editor of Time magazine. And his book Witness, I read that as a high school or college student. And he found God after his being in the Communist Party. He never became Catholic, but baptized Episcopalian. So on a level of a biography, spiritual reading, The Soul of the Apostolate is a book I recommend everybody read. It's by Dom Chatard, a French monk, and it's all about that if you're going to be an apostle, you have to be a man or woman of prayer.
Nice.
The Soul
That's
of
great.
The Apostolate.
Okay. Thanks for those recommendations, Father. That's wonderful. And I just want to say, Father, before we close out here too, thank you so much for all the work that you do for the church and defending the faith and providing clarity. That's, I can speak for myself and a lot of other people I know, but just so appreciative for you having the grace and courage to do that for us. Thank you so much for that. And you're in my prayers, and I'm asking everybody out there to pray for you and all the work that you do. Please keep it up, you know, so...
Well, thank you, Mary Kate. No, thank you for what you do. And, you know, the apostolate of the radio and television is something that you never know who's listening. I know Mother Angelica, when you read her life, you find out how many people ended up seeing her programs and, you know, changed their life. So God bless Mother Angelica and then those carrying on her work.
Yeah, and that's funny you should say that, because I even met someone one time that told me they were watching her in a bar at one time. I was like, wow, she does get in everywhere.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
To kind of close things out, Father, would you mind giving us a blessing?
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And thank you again so much, Father, for coming on. Everybody, please, you know, if you would... check out Father's book, Calming the Storm, Navigating the Crisis Facing the Catholic Church and Society. Also, you can see Father's writings on the Catholic thing. And also, you know, Father is on once a month, at least with Raymond Arroyo and Robert Royal, for, you know, giving information about different things going on in the church. So, you know, please check out all those resources. And God bless all of you. Have a wonderful week. Thanks again, Father. And we'll be with you again soon. Bye now.